Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman.
It's great to be here. We have Deb Klein joining us from the Cleveland Jobs with Justice. Deb, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
We love having you so we can jump on our feminist soapboxes. We're all pretty good at that.
Love to get on that band. Love to get on that bandwagon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to need a ladder by the time this day is done with my soapbox. To get up or down the thing. Like, oh my gosh. So you were telling us about the reintroduction of the equal pay equality, I believe, bill introduced. You want to tell us a little bit more about it?
Right. Well, the Equal Pay Act was reintroduced in both the Senate and the House this week on April 15th. And it was symbolic because it was the 104th day of the year. And that's how much extra women have to work in order to catch up to the earnings of men each year. So it's 104 days extra for us to work if we're working in the same as men. Because the national average is we're still only earning 78 cents on the dollar to men. So we still have a long way to go when it comes to earnings, in earning the same as men.
That's very interesting. It
really is. And I'll tell you, this is going to get even worse, and I'm going to make you a little bit more angry. I used to do trainings, and I actually sat down one day and figured it out, the percentage. And if we keep going at the same rate that we've been going all along, it's going to take us until the year 2063 to catch
63? Really?
2063.
Oh, dear.
Unless we get a bill like this passed.
And tell us what the bill is exactly.
Well, it will mean that if we are working and doing the same type of work as a man, that we will actually be paid the same as a man.
Wait, this doesn't already exist?
No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you, I'm sure that you all remember the Lilly Ledbetter Act and Lilly Ledbetter, and that was one of the first pieces of legislation that the president signed when he took office. And all that did was change the rules a little bit, because what Lilly did, Lilly actually worked for the Goodyear company. And when she retired, she found out that she was doing the same job as her coworker. And they weren't allowed to talk about how much they made. It was one of those employers. And we as union people, we say that employers are not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to have a policy where you're not allowed to talk about how much you earn. But actually, Goodyear said that they weren't allowed to talk about how much they earn, and they never did. Well, when she retired, she found out that she made much less than her male counterpart, even though they were doing the same work. And so she decided to file suit. Well, she lost that suit because there was a law that said you only had 180 days to file suit once you found out, there was some kind of convoluted law. Well, what has now changed is that it's from every pay you have 180 days. So it resets itself every time you get a paycheck.
That's smart.
So it's made it a little easier. But what happens if you're retired and you don't find out until a couple years later that you were earning the same amount or you were earning less than your male counterpart, which often happens? It's ridiculous. Here we are, and I actually had the opportunity to meet Lilly because she came to Cleveland when this was going on, when the bill was still proposed in Congress, and I had the opportunity to speak at a rally, and I after hearing other people speak, and that was one of the first things I said back then, and this was many years ago. I said I couldn't believe that we're still in whatever year it was. I think it was 2009. We're still in the year 2009, but now here we are in the year 2015, and we're still talking about women earning the same as men for doing the same work.
So that just infuriates me, because I feel like as a millennial, like I feel like that shouldn't be an issue. Because I don't feel like I'm any different to a male who would be doing the same job as me, and we are both equally qualified. Or say, like, I graduated with someone and we ended up getting the same job. You know, like, we went to school, we had the same exact education, we were in the same type of classes. Why do you deserve to make more than I do just because of you're a male? Like, to me, that just blows my mind, and it makes me so sad to see that is such a big problem in our society, and I feel like we are so much better than that.
Well, and you know what the argument is? Do you know what the argument is?
Oh, I'm afraid to ask.
Well, here's what the argument is. Because as a man, he has to support a family.
But that's
is
not...
Is someone still so saying why, that? Like 2015, oh, someone is still yeah, saying yeah, that?
It's sad, but
oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. I mean, let's not forget the fact... I mean, let's just totally forget the fact that there are several women who are heads of household out there mm-hmm, that have to support their families. But that is one of the arguments.
Shout out to my mom.
And we...
She has instilled in me, and it was funny we had this conversation because my sister went on some rant the other day about how she was all like going to do something herself, and you know, she's got a problem, she takes care of it, blah, blah, blah. And my mom was like, wow, you are really cutthroat. I don't remember raising you like that. And my sister looked at her and was like, you know what? All you have done since we were small children was instilled in us that we need to grow up, be independent, and stand on our own 2 feet. We don't need to rely on someone else to help us get through on life, because if you may not always have like a husband or a spouse or someone else who can help you, you might have to stand on your own 2 feet at some point. And I want to know that I've raised you in a way that you can be dependent on someone if you want jointly, but when it comes down to it, if the situation occurs, you can survive and stand on your own 2 feet. And that is how she has always beat into our head and instilled in us. And I'm thankful for that, because I know people who are not. And I'm like, I, as much as I rely on my parents, as I currently do in my current situation of sorts, I am all for stepping out on my own, and I want to strive to be on my own 2 feet and to be able to do things on my own, because I want to just be independent. Like she taught me to, like, you know, do it yourself. If you want something done, you got to go out and do it yourself, and you got to be able to stand on your own 2 feet and don't rely on someone else to like pick you up. You have to be able to be dependent or independent. I'm sorry.
And that's exactly right. And this is where union contracts can protect us as women, because if it's in a union contract and the pay scales, we just have to hope that the pay scales aren't skewed between the men and the women. But this is where we can get many more protections, because if we're under a contract, it's in the contract. But if you do not belong to a union, more than likely the pay inequities are out there. And if you have an employer that won't that has this policy that says you're not allowed to talk about what your pay scales are, I would be a little suspicious, because mm-hmm, you're probably doing the same job as a male counterpart and probably not earning the same amount of money.
Exactly. And I'm sure an employer that's going to discriminate based on gender is also going to discriminate on lots of other things. So that's another reason to keep your eye out. You know, the race discrimination, LGBT discrimination. I mean, any excuse to pay somebody less, they'll do it if they're the kind of people that say you can't talk to other people you work with about your wage. And I think that's a really important thing now that that's illegal. You know, you are legally allowed to do that. That I was actually just reading about this yesterday. That's a great way to combat this. As long as everyone's informed, why not talk about your wages with each other? You know, if everyone's informed, then we can sort of collectively fight this.
Oh, I agree, because I think something like that would open this door in the right direction to the conversation of, hey, you're making $2 more an hour than me. Like, we're doing the same job. Like, that's not right. And I think that would open the lines of communications for people to come together and be like, you know what? This isn't cool, guys. This is 2015, and that's just not cool.
Right.
And it's a good reason to unionize and organize in the workplace if you're not already in a union.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because wage discrimination based on gender is a really good reason to organize.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to point out that the national average is this is the national average, 78 cents on the dollar. Ohio is worse. It's 77 cents on the dollar. And I hate to tell you guys, but Pennsylvania is even a little worse. It's 76 cents on the dollar. The worst state in the union happens to be Louisiana, 66 cents on the dollar.
Mm.
The best state is actually New York, and it's 86 cents on the dollar.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's all over the place.
That's still
in
pretty
here.
Bad. 86 cents is still pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
But when I did the calculations, I based it on Ohio and how much we've grown when I said 2063. But I mean, that's pretty sad for us to have to work that long, and the growth to wait that long. So that's why it's really important for us to keep in mind who we need to vote for in order to get this changed, because I can have a pretty good idea who isn't going to support the pay Paycheck Fairness Act. I can.
I say we go kick them in the kneecaps and let them feel what we feel. But that's just my opinion, guys. Anyways, Deb, we've got to run. I've got to cut to commercial break here. But you know what? Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Because if you love to just help rein us in and bring us into perspective about, you know, like why we need to rock and shake the world and change things. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. That was Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. Go check them out. Cleveland Jobs of Justice, guys. Go search it. Go check it out. They got some great things going on. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to the Union Eds, Labor Talk Radio.
My dictionary defines a staff as a walking stick used either for balance or as a weapon. So how are today's congressional staffs used? At one time, they were behind-the-scenes people hired to walk lawmakers through the complexities of legislation or to help them find balance between competing viewpoints. These days, though, top staffers tend to be a specific type of high-profile operative, corporate lobbyists. At the urging of House Speaker John Boehner, members are bringing the K Street lobbying crowd directly inside their offices and committees to run America's lawmaking process. There's nothing subtle about the intent. These staffs are weapons for knocking aside the public interest and advancing the narrow legislative interests of their former corporate clients. Yes, the same corporations that generously fund the campaigns of Boehner's Republican majority. Neat, huh? As the excellent investigative digger Lee Fong recently detailed in The Nation, the conflict of interest in this hat-switching scheme is a brazen, insolent affront to our democratic ideals and to any sense of ethics. Examples range from the new staff director of the Intelligence Committee, who comes straight from lobbying for such intelligence contractors and profiteers as General Dynamics, Boeing, and the infamous Blackwater outfit, to a leading anti-minimum wage lobbyist for retail giants like Walmart, who has now been embedded as a top staffer inside the troika of House leaders. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's bad enough that our laws have been corrupted by unlimited corporate spending on their army of influence peddlers, but now we taxpayers have the added insult of having to foot the bill for the horde of lobbyists who've quietly been slipped inside to serve as staffers. They're not there merely to influence lawmakers, but to become the de facto unelected corporate Congress.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace. Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.